Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. We're still in the pandemic, and now it appears we've got SPAC fever. Business news as of late has been ablaze with SPACs. These special purpose acquisition corporations, which many refer to as blank check companies, are formed to raise capital for the purpose of acquiring privately held businesses. I know, you're probably asking, what does this have to do with cannabis and insurance? Well, these SPACs need directors and officers insurance, which, as it turns out, comes with a sizable premium. This D&O covers them over the period during which they will be searching for acquisition targets, and cannabis SPACs have literally been going off lately. Multi-state cannabis company Parallel recently announced its intention to go public via a merger with SPAC Ceres Acquisition Corp in a deal with an estimated value of $1.8 billion. Choice Consolidation Corp, a new SPAC, raised $150 million in an IPO on the Canadian INEO exchange in mid-February. The plan, according to a release from the company, is to target single-state operators in markets with high barriers to entry, distressed assets that require minimal incremental capital, and paper licenses in targeted states that can be obtained on accretive terms. And it's not just cannabis SPACs we're hearing about. Former Walgreens CEO Greg Wasson, for example, in early February announced he's raised $275 million for Foresight Acquisition, which intends to focus on the technology-enabled consumer and consumer healthcare industries. Dave Garrigus, an EVP in Management and Professional Liability Practice Leader at Hub International, is one of the brokers who's been heavily involved with insuring these SPACs.
You know, I would tell you, even before we speak to cannabis SPACs in particular, the market for SPACs overall is experiencing a really significant growth. So if you look at the marketplace, there were less than 60 SPAC IPOs in 2019, raising just over $13 billion in offering proceeds. In 2020, that skyrocketed to 248 for the calendar year. There have been over 150 already year to date. So it's a really significant growth in the volume of SPAC transactions. And not unsurprisingly, a number of those have decided to focus on the cannabis industry. And those might be SPACs that have occurred on primarily the Toronto Exchange that would target a U.S. plant-touching business, or it might be a SPAC who goes on a U.S. exchange targeting an ancillary business. But there have been a number of SPACs targeting the cannabis industry more broadly following the growth in SPACs overall.
I wanted to find out more about how this is affecting the cannabis insurance space. So I talked with Alan Devey, a cannabis-focused producer out of Lockton, Chicago, who works with several publicly traded cannabis companies. His client base represents companies traded on both Canadian exchanges and U.S. exchanges. He specializes in vertically integrated operators. Devey has been awash in SPAC deals.
If you were to look at how I allocated my time over the last couple of years, I would say, 70% of my time was going to general cannabis insurance clients, with the balance of the 30 time going to, other clients. Going forward, here this year, I've been spending about 80% of my time on SPAC deals. And then the balance 20 on just general cannabis deals. And so because of the nature of these deals and how fast and furious they work, they are very time consuming because they need your full attention 7 days a week. And it's not uncommon to have board meetings on, Friday nights, Saturday mornings, or Sunday afternoons, because all of a sudden general business hours aren't applicable anymore because that shot clock that is executed by using the SPAC as your investment vehicle.
Devey's work is mostly in cannabis SPACs, but the Midwest office he works out of is currently involved in finding insurance for about 30 SPACs across numerous industries.
At the end of the day, there's a lot of capital in the market chasing deals, and so it's very easy to raise the money. And then use that money as a way to invest in other businesses. And so it's just people getting creative with putting money to work. And so this is definitely going to pose a challenge for the private equity guys who have been doing it their way for the longest time, because it's another way for companies to put money to work.
Devi has been closely monitoring the myriad happenings as of late in the cannabis SPAC space, which has been keeping him and his colleagues extremely busy and, of course, quite happy.
Some acquisitions are a little bit more aggressive than others, where, you know, a SPAC is buying multiple companies at the same time. But, you know, there's a handful of these things going on currently, maybe more than a handful. But, you know, the Subversive team led by Michael Auerbach, who was a former Tilray guy in Privateer Holdings, he has spun off and, you know, started the Subversive Group, which they acquired Caliva and Left Coast Ventures. And, you know, Jay-Z is their spokesperson now. So, you know, everyone thinks that that's going to be a great deal. They're also working on another deal. It's their second SPAC where they're acquiring Intercure out of Israel. And that's going to be the largest vertically integrated player out of Israel. So, you know, another great deal. Weed Maps was a cannabis technology company that, you know, was purchased by a SPAC and went public. Former GTI and Cresco execs got together, and they've got, you know, Consolidated Choice Corporation. Scooter Braun, the Hollywood juggernaut, has his group Series, which announced they were purchasing Parallel. And so there are all sorts of SPAC deals going to take some of these large private companies public or even merge a few smaller players, just to kind of continue to bolster the M&A activity within cannabis. So it's been a lot of fun to watch, and these SPAC deals are fast and furious, but very exciting just to be engaged in them.
Making sure a SPAC is properly covered requires a great deal more than just placing a D&O policy and walking away. To get a better breakdown of what all is involved, I thought it'd be interesting to ask Devi for the ABCs of insuring SPACs.
When you start looking at the insurance side of a SPAC, there are several transactions that go down. And the first of those transactions would be working at a SPAC level with the leadership group of the SPAC to purchase an initial D&O policy as the company goes public to protect the board members of the SPAC. And so when this happens, the shot clock begins. And there's a certain amount of time from the time the SPAC is formed and listed that they have to deploy that capital. So essentially, they've got an active insurance policy, and they really only need one, and that's a D&O policy for the entity as things get rocking. Once the target company is identified or target companies are identified, the next phase of work begins. And that's the diligence phase, as well as starting to look at the runoff policy, because the SPAC is essentially going to be dissolved. So the D&O policy for the SPAC will need to be put into runoff. From there, you need to look at the target company and their current insurance program and put that into runoff. So you got the two current D&O policies going into runoff. You need to then look at two additional items. Based on where it's traded, whether it's a U.S. exchange, a Canadian exchange, or, you know, a Tel Aviv exchange, there's all sorts of different rules and regulations, but the evolution of the POSI policy to protect the promotion and the fundraising portion of the SPAC is another policy that works in conjunction with the directors and officer policy. And so evaluating if a POSI policy makes sense, and then looking at the go-forward policy to protect the new found entity. And so there's a lot of moving parts, and it's not rocket science how to get this done. The hard part of this is the speed at which it needs to be done. And in cannabis, it's already hard enough to place coverage and get underwriters comfortable, but doing it at an accelerated rate is very, very difficult.
You have to be on your game to procure insurance for these companies. For cannabis SPACs, there are more and higher hurdles for all involved, broker, insurer, insured.
So the challenges within the cannabis SPAC place are sheerly capacity. And so once again, based on where it's traded, limits your options. And so if it's a Canadian exchange with U.S. operations, there's really only one, two, or three people who will sit primary on the D&O policy for the go forward. From there, it's getting people excited and comfortable about filling the excess on that tower to get the SPAC an adequate limit for the go forward. And where it also is kind of interesting and gets a little messy is because the target company, there's going to be several brokers involved because the SPAC has hired their broker to represent the SPAC. The target company is going to have their own broker. And so figuring out either how to work with that broker or work with leadership to kind of pitch yourself as the go-forward broker is essential. Because the last thing you need with a consolidated timeline is multiple brokers in the market trying to achieve the same result. And so there's been times where we've stepped down and backed off and said, hey, if you've already got another broker, we're not trying to make a mess. We need to get this done and time is very important. Or there are times where we've had enough time to do a broker competition, or there's times where we've been kind of just appointed. So it can work several different ways, but these deals can get messy quickly. And so understanding them and knowing how to work them is very, very important.
The D&O market as a whole has become a tough place to shop for insurance buyers. And Garagus doesn't hold out much hope for any relief arriving anytime soon in that line of insurance.
The D&O market for SPACs has hardened very dramatically, really since the end of September of last year. With the explosion in number of SPACs, we've seen increased scrutiny from regulators. In particular, there were some comments at the end of September made by the then SEC Chairman Jay Clayton, focused on the sufficiency of sponsor due diligence and some of the impact of sponsor incentives and compensation. More recently, the new SEC chairman, Gary Gensler, actually included heightened scrutiny of SPACs in his enforcement agenda. And so I would say that an increase in regulator attention has fueled an increase in rates and a change in terms in the D&O market, even beyond what we've seen in the market overall. That is particularly heightened for SPACs targeting the cannabis industry. And that's because, as you and many of the listeners may know, there are only a finite number of insurance companies who are able to write or who are willing to write D&O coverage for the cannabis industry or for risks tied to the cannabis industry. And so when you look at the intersection between good SPAC markets and good cannabis markets, it's a very, very small marketplace. And as such, the market for cannabis D&O or cannabis SPAC D&O is comparably harder than for SPACs or the D&O market overall.
Got a $500,000? It's a big ask, but cannabis SPACs have to fork over some big-time dough to get their risks covered.
What I would say is for a cannabis SPAC for the initial period, it's not at all uncommon now to see limits ranging from $2.5 to $5 million, if not some buying at a higher level. And pricing now is harder than it's ever been, probably by a factor of four relative to mid-year last year. So really significant increase. So for $5 million in coverage as a benchmark, it's not at all uncommon to see pricing above $500,000 for the search period, typically 2 years, maybe higher or lower depending on how the program is structured and a number of other levers that can be pulled to, if appropriate, moderate cost.
I asked DV if all this activity and brokering insurance for these big, well-watched deals is a bit more stressful or a bit more fun.
And if you like waking up in the morning with your hair on fire, and being able to go in and have, 10, 11, 12 straight hours of work to do, and really be impactful to your clients, it is a awesome space to be in. If you're looking for something a little slower paced and kind of your traditional insurance sale, this is not really it. It is, it's very exciting. It's very fun. The stakes are high. As I work these deals, there's so many different ways you can win or lose them because there are a lot of different parties involved. And so you're vulnerable often. You're investing a lot of time. You're investing a lot of resources. From an E&O perspective, I'm not very concerned about that. We've got a team of tremendous professionals who handle all the placements of these. I'm simply acting as the conduit and almost the project manager to make sure these deals are moving along and timelines are being met, which is, you know, very fun and exciting. So, you know, if you're going to venture into this market, I would definitely understand what you're getting into and have a team who is equally as excited about it as you are, and make sure everyone goes in eyes wide open and, you know, is ready to get to roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jorgler.